We want to welcome you back to our Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church, located in Brookfield, Wisconsin. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor and senior citizens pastor. And often in my counseling opportunities, I have the opportunity to talk to parents about teenagers. And that's what we want to talk about the next couple of times. Parents and teenagers. Somebody has said every generation must make a choice. They can either pillage or plant. Pillage or plant. And yes, we as parents, we can pillage in the lives of our children and our teenagers, or we can plant seeds that will bring about results for years to come. There was once a German forester that was talking about the harvest that he was bringing in. And he basically said that foresters planted trees 180 years before they were harvested. In other words, he said his great-grandfather planted the trees that he was harvesting 180 years later. But he, at the same time, had to plant trees for his great-grandchildren. Wow. 180 years between the time of planting and reaping. But you know, many times we can see the consequences of poor parenting, not just in our children, but also, yes, in our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. And so I want to encourage you as parents to invest in your children. They'll keep the change. And hopefully it will be a change that will bring a blessing to their generation. Now, to enable us to do that, we want to look at a verse in Colossians chapter 3. Verse 19 talks about husbands loving their wives and be not bitter against them. Then it says in verse 20 of Colossians 3, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Then it talks to the parents, and it says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, obviously, when you've got a child who is discouraged in trying to please his parents and trying to do right and trying to mature and trying to grow up and those kinds of things, if he becomes discouraged, then it's very easy for him to just give up and quit. Several years back, we were able to ask a number of teenagers, what types of things do your parents do that seem to provoke you to anger? Now, before I even get into the study, I want you to understand that there's nothing that parents can do that will make their children get angry. Their children make a choice to become angry or to forgive or to move on. But many times, we are able to see things that we as parents can do that provoke our children to anger. And we can see, even in that passage that we just read, about husbands not being bitter against their wives. That's in the previous verse. Because the first thing that teenagers shared with us was the lack of marital harmony in their home was something that often provoked them to anger. When mom and dad were not getting along, when there was fighting and fussing and arguing, and even many times it was physical type of a situation, that they were not living in accordance to God's will, the children got caught in the middle of it and often became provoked against one of their own parents because of how they were treating their other parent. Now, bitterness is something that we as parents have to be concerned about. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, it talks about bitterness being something that is so devastating to an entire family. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. In other words, when you've been hurt, when you've been angered, God promises to give you grace. But if you fail to appropriate that grace of God, then it says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Notice it starts out just as a little root, but roots always grow. And whenever there's a root, eventually there's going to be a fruit. And the root of bitterness will spring up and will trouble you and me as parents. But notice the last part of verse 15 of Hebrews 12. It says, and thereby many be defiled. And so when there is bitterness in our homes, between us as spouses, husbands and wives, our children are provoked to anger because of that bitterness, because many are defiled. Now, the lack of marital harmony leads to the second thing that our teenagers shared with us, and that's establishing and maintaining a child-centered home. Establishing and maintaining a child-centered home. In other words, if husbands and wives are not in love and developing that loving relationship, many times it's easy for a child to turn that love interest to one of their children. Maybe a mother to a daughter, or a father to a son, or that type of a thing. And when that happens, then a child-centered home begins to be established. In other words, where the child is the center of the home, and everything that is said and done is basically to please that child. Proverbs 24:15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." A child left to himself, in other words, allowed to do what he wants to do. That's a child-centered home. And when a child becomes the center of that home, basically he gets the idea that this home focuses on me. And so then he gets angry when his desires for equal status with his parents are not met. And sad to say, many times that child-centered child goes to school. And then he gets angry because all of the classroom doesn't center their attention on him and what he wants and what makes him happy. And so when there's a lack of marital harmony in the home, it's easy to establish and maintain a child-centered home. And that, of course, leads to much problems. Because many times the child who is the center of the home is frustrated and angry whenever he doesn't get his way. The other children who are not the centers of the home become angry and jealous. And it reminds us of the brothers of Joseph, who saw favoritism in his home, and then they reacted in that way. Now, a third thing that teenagers shared with us is when we as parents are modeling sinful anger. Modeling sinful anger. In other words, in Proverbs 22 and verse 24, the Bible tells us, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." In other words, when we as parents are modeling sinful anger, we are basically causing that child to get a snare to his soul. Because children want to make friends with their parents. They want to be loved by their parents. But if we are angry people, then the Bible says children will learn our ways and get a snare to their soul. And so what a shame it is when we are teaching our children that the only way to solve problems is to win. Well, it's not long before they pick up on it and they begin to act in the same way, and they are provoked to anger when they are not allowed to win. The fourth thing is when we as parents are habitually disciplining with anger. Disciplining with anger. Many times we as parents have to ask our children to go into their rooms and think about what they've done, think about what caused the problem and what God thinks about that issue. But the bottom line for giving them time may often be that we have to get our spirits under control. Because whenever we are disciplining in anger, the Bible says that we cannot be like God. Psalm 38:1 says, "O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure." God doesn't do that. Nor should we as parents. But we need to be responding with temperance, the ability to control ourselves. Ephesians 4:26 and 27 says, "Be angry and sin not, and sin not." And so often, many times, we are responding in anger when we are disciplining our children. James 1:19 and 20 says that we should be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And many times when it's a disciplining situation, we're not really swift to hear. We think we have all the details and all the facts, and bam, the discipline comes, and we are not slow to speak, we're not slow to wrath, and that is a provoking factor for our children to become angry. The next one is scolding. Scolding. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or building up, that it may minister grace to the hearers." And so many times we as parents do that constantly. Scold them about this, scold them about that, correct this, correct that. And it's just something that can cause children to become so frustrated. When the Bible specifically says, do not frustrate your children, Colossians 3:21. So scolding, we have to be very careful with that. The next one is being inconsistent with discipline. In other words, when we are parents who are not executing discipline in the same way every time, sometimes it's done speedily, sometimes we let something go, and it causes children and teenagers to begin to wonder, well, where's the consistency there? Ecclesiastes 8:11 deals with that, that if something is not executed speedily, then children begin to say, well, I don't guess it really makes that big of a difference. Being inconsistent with discipline. Next, it's having double standards. Double standards. The Apostle Paul talked about what the Philippian church had seen and heard in him in Philippians 4:9. What you have seen and heard in me, he said, you can do. So that's a good question, isn't it? Are you as a parent giving your children and your teenagers double standards? Do they see you do something, but they hear from your lips that they should not be doing the same thing? Whatever the double standards are, make sure that whatever they see in you, they're able to do. We're talking about habits. We're talking about activities. We're talking about places that you go, things that you do. Double standards. Talking about standards, let's go to the next one. It's being legalistic. Being legalistic. In other words, Romans 14 and verse 6 basically says that we need to let God deal with the gray areas. The gray areas are areas where many times it's not really clear what the Bible has to say about it. Romans 14:6, he that regardeth the day regardeth it to the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. And so it talks about it is possible for there to be areas where there can be some disagreement. And so we need to allow our children to understand that if this is something that we want them to do or not do, it may not be something that we can say, this is what the Bible says, but we may just simply have to say, this is what I want you to do while you're here, and then you can make your own decisions when you leave home. Well, we have run out of time, and we're not anywhere near being done. So the next time we get together, we will continue the ways that parents provoke children to anger. Now, remember what I said at the beginning of the broadcast. Invest in your children. They'll keep the change. And I trust that your investment will be a godly investment, and the change that they keep will be one that we are excited to see. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a great way.